the way, if you're enjoying the show and you're loving all the content and all the ideas and all the wonderful ways to make money and you're actually putting it into context, would you like me to speak to your team, to your clients, or at your events? Well, Turbocharge Your Brand TV is actually going live now. Not just on the internet, not just available for YouTube and all the many different video hosting sites, but I can come to your event and present it live. How do you fancy that? Very simply, contact me at dave@thelifedesigners.com and see how I can come along, meet your friends, meet your clients, meet your team, and boost your brand as well. Let's turbocharge together. Contact me at Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Dave Crane. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Turbocharge Your Brand TV. In this episode, this week, you're going to find out how to make $1 million online for affiliate marketing. Yes, with the queen of affiliate marketing, Rosalind Garner. Also, if you're finding things a little bit tough with your business, but you think, you know what, I've learned as much as I possibly can about this, don't worry about it. In this episode, we're going to show you how to use exactly the same clients, the same business, and the same knowledge set that you have to turn everything around and make some serious business that's going to last for a long, long time. And our celebrity profile this week is TV's Mr. Nasty, Simon Cowell, the guy who invented X Factor, the guy responsible for American Idol, and on top of that, he's also the guy that you have to watch because you can't take your eyes off him because you don't know what he's going to say next. We're going to find out what he's going to say next on this show. Stick around for Turbocharge Your Brand TV. To reveal a secret to you about networking. Networking is the new currency for making new friends, business partners, and being visible in public. If you want to sell your products and you want to make some real cash, there is no better way of selling than face-to-face. Forget social media. Oh, can't believe you said that. Well, it's true, and it actually comes down to the know, like, and trust that you create with every client. There's nothing better than going to an event and doing face-to-face relationships. But how do you do that? Most people are scared to go to an event and meet people. It's either that you don't know what to say, you don't know what they're going to say, or in many other ways, you're thinking, where do I stand? What do I do? I'm completely at the mercy of whoever's organizing the event. And this is how you can up the ante on your behalf. First of all, when you select a networking event, be prepared before you go along. Don't just turn up by accident hoping everything is going to happen. You wouldn't do that on a date, would you? If you do, then stop doing it. Get prepared. Know what it is that you're going to have. A structured plan really helps. Finding out about the target market, who are going along, and contacting the organizers. Offer to help at the very beginning by turning up early and offering to man the registration desk. Why is that? Well, you get to meet and greet everybody, you get to collect and swap business cards with everybody, and you get to cherry pick who it is that you want to talk to later on. Smarter? Also, make sure that you travel in packs, at least of two people, and you know each other's business, you know how to refer each other, because a referral from somebody else is like a 3-second sales pitch. It works almost every single time. If I talk about my product, nobody's going to believe me. If somebody else says, you've got to talk to Dave Crane, he rocks, great speaker, great coach, and he can probably motivate any team on the planet, people are going to say, oh, well, tell me more about him. So bring somebody along who's going to go off in a different direction and bring people over to you, and you do the same for them. Make sure you become the go-to person at that event, networking, collecting business cards and saying, I've got to introduce you to somebody. But if you already have a plan in mind of who you want to talk to, it means you spend less time going, oh, okay, and more time converting business. When you're going around and talking to people, by the way, don't spend too long with anybody. I know it sounds like a really rude thing to do, but literally, you're there to network, not to do a coffee. The more people you collect business cards from who are useful for you and you target them properly, the more useful those follow-ups will be. You can spend hours over a coffee at a later date, or by email, or even on the phone, but at that event, you've got a core target audience you really want to do some business with. Now, once you've met the people you really want to talk to, the next stage is collecting business cards and asking their permission to write on it. Some people have got really cool business cards like mine, in which case, I'm going to show you this one here, which I've shown you at certain episodes before, and I'll be talking about at a later date. This one's all shiny, so you can't write on it, but most people have got a blank side that you can write on with a felt tip pen or a ballpoint pen. Once you do that, ask for permission, because people don't like it normally. They think it's rude if he writes on their card, and say, when can I contact you? Or what can we do business in? Or what can I do to help you? Once you start the conversation going, then you've got permission to write on the card. But make sure that you write on it in front of them, because otherwise you won't remember who it was you were talking to. Once you've done all that, then you are prepared to leave the meeting. Maybe even you leave a networking event 2 hours early, before that bit at the end where everyone sits and just carries on talking because they don't want to go home and feed the cat. When you leave and you go home, follow up every single business card, every single lead, and every single promise that you said within a time span where people will still remember who you are. People have very busy lives and time is everything. When they go back to their office or go back home or go back to feed their cat, other things catch up from the outside world, and within a very short amount of time, they won't remember who they were talking to, least of all if they said that they'd contact you and you didn't bother getting back in contact with them. If it's a particularly expensive or exclusive or wonderful client you really want to talk to, then make sure you collect their card, and if they have no cards with them, get their contact details and ask for permission to contact them afterwards. Otherwise, they disappear, and before you know it, it's 6 months, 12 months before you talk to them again, and they've already done business with somebody who was inspired by the conversation that you had with them and got all their cash. So that's my idea. When you go to a networking event, make sure you got all those things in place, and you too can really turbocharge your brand. How would you like to make passive earning? That's making lots of cash while you sleep. Now let me explain the difference. For most people, there's linear earning. That's when you go to work, get paid, go home again. Even if you run your own business, you still got to keep working, otherwise nobody pays you. And if you take a holiday, you're taking time off work and not getting paid. Passive is creating a system of earning that means that once you've set it up, you can virtually forget it. The internet allows you to do that, and one of the great things about putting stuff onto the internet to sell is even though in your country, after 9 o'clock people might start going to sleep, if they're very young or very old, other parts of the world, people are staying up, logging in, going to work, and all around the world you can have a 24-hour sales cycle. But how do you get that started, and what are the pitfalls of getting it wrong? There is no better person to talk to than Rosalind Garner. She's the queen of affiliate marketing. So I talked to her and asked her, how do you turbocharge your brand?
I don't consider myself a salesperson at all. I talk about the products that I like. So, and you can say things that you like and you don't like. It's up to the merchant to actually sell the product. I just talk about the product. I promote it, and I can say things. If nothing is perfect, nothing is perfect. So you can say what doesn't really work for you, but it's better in so many ways than another product would be. You can compare products. And so when you give an honest, unbiased review, people are much more likely to buy that product.
So when it comes to people thinking in terms of how to monetize, say, their blog, if they choose a subject that they're really passionate about, whether it's cars or shoes or anything else, there's always a product somewhere that's related to it. So they could just review these things and make money from that.
Absolutely. That's really all you need to do.
Is there a certain way that you should communicate that over to people, though?
And in terms of how you talk about the products.
Yes.
I've always found that's the best policy.
In which case we should be talking what, with enthusiasm? Is that what we need to do?
I believe in picking only products that you're really enthusiastic about, because if you're speaking with a giant list or group of people, you wouldn't want to be promoting a product that you're not crazy about. Now you might want to do a negative review on a product, saying that I really dislike this for so many different reasons, and then point them in another direction to a product that you really, really do like. So you have a lot of latitude in how you communicate things to your readers.
Is that of interest then? If you're talking about doing a negative review of something, does that leave you open to defamation online?
I've never found that to be the case. I mean, as long as you're talking honestly, like if something has a detriment, like if a product has a detriment to it, just being really open about it is, you know, as long as a lot of other people have also come across that, and that's easy enough to check online. I mean, even if you do a video, right, like let's say the shoe breaks easily, right, you could hold up the shoe and show it on the video and just say that, well, so-and-so's similar product doesn't do this. It lasts so much longer.
So for people who are interested in getting into it, there's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, supposing they're just starting out and they don't have a big list of people to communicate to, mm-hmm. that's got to be a hindrance for them to start making money.
Actually, it doesn't take that long to build a list. What I instruct people to do is to first establish their website, which really only takes a couple of minutes. You buy a domain and then you set up your blog, which is, you know, two form blanks, and your blog is online. And getting traffic. So what you would do first of all is do some talking about the topics. Let's say that you're doing weight loss products or whatever, and you can talk about general things that you've done, like in terms of exercise or whatever, and lead into those products without having to sign up for the programs. And then what you do is go to forums. And where other people who are also interested in that type of product or whatever, and start helping them, start getting online and just leaving answers to questions, very full answers to questions with your web address at the bottom of them, and people will start to come because they'll say, oh, this person really knows a lot about that topic. I want to go and see what else they have to say, and so you're bringing in free traffic that way. And not only that, the greatest benefit of having a blog is that they just generate traffic naturally. If you're blogging on a regular basis, and it doesn't have to be every day, it can be, you know, 2-3 times a week, Google notices those things, and they start sending you traffic.
Time now for Ask Dave, the bit where you ask me a question, you get a free prize, and I give you lots of great information all about how to really sort out your life. A bit like a life coach, but possibly with a bit more of a telly involved. Okay, Olivia Costello asks, Dave, I work in the real estate industry, or at least I used to. Work has dried up because people haven't got the budgets and not buying the properties, and I'm not making any money. It's predominantly commission-based, and I was making some serious cash before, but everything's catching up with me now. What do you suggest I do? Bit of a long question there, Olivia. Okay, let's look at your existing business. Right now, you have no clients that want to buy real estate. True? But what you do have is a knowledge of what people are looking for in the real estate industry. You also know the spin-off industries related to buying a property. Insurance for the property. Furniture, interior decorating, carpeting. Even something as strange as the air conditioning. These are all industries that people who've bought property are using or want to use or need to change and adapt. You already have the ability to move sideways in your existing business and service your existing clients and have relationships maybe as an online seller or channel sales for other people's products. Which effectively was what you were doing when you were selling property in the first place. Let me give you a better example of how you could do that. Let's take, for instance, air conditioning. Now, I live in Dubai, where 9 months of the year, it's so hot that the air conditioning has to be on all the time, otherwise you sweat like I'm doing underneath these lights. At that time, the air conditioning repairmen are busy, busy, busy. The salesmen are busy, busy, busy. But during the winter, which only lasts 2-3 months, everything cools down. And in fact, more than anything, it becomes difficult to be warm inside your house because it's made to be cool. So what should these guys do during that time instead of having a holiday or twiddling their thumbs wishing that somebody would want to repair their air conditioning early? Very simply, you've got a fan base of clients who trust you to come and look after your air conditioning, so why not sell them a fan heater? A fan heater during those 3 months of the year is invaluable for warming that room. And the thing is, most people don't even think about it until it comes to that time. So when you go to serve as a client who calls you up and says, you know, my air conditioning needs fixing, why not take with you in the car a fan heater that maybe you've bought by somebody else, maybe you've upgraded, maybe you can add a service plan so if something goes wrong with the fan heater, you'll come around and fix that alongside the air conditioning. Maybe even better, if you know the client's got a big villa, bring around three, get them to buy one for a friend. But certainly what you're doing is just creating a brand new market from the knowledge that you already have from a customer base that already knows, likes and trusts you and making a whole load of extra cash. So have a think about your business, Olivia. What else can you sell to the people who have already bought from you? How can you get commission from selling other products from the people in industries all around that you already know and understand and start working on them? Or the other option is to emigrate. Go to Brazil, China, India, somewhere where the economy is flourishing and set up the same business over there. But if you don't speak the language, stick where you are, in your own house that you've probably paid for and start changing your business around, giving clients more of what they already know and love. If you want to ask me a question, by the way, on Ask Dave, all you have to do is email me at this email address, dave@thelifedesigners.com. If I answer your question, then I'll give you this entire Jump and Grow Wings mindset package, which uses NLP, there's books, there's videos, there's everything you need to really get your mind round creating success in your business. But also, if you disagree with things I say, or you want to let me know I'm on the right track, please leave comments on the site. Contact me, let me know that I'm on the right track. I can't get it right all the time, as my wife tells me. More questions like that coming up in the next episode of Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Are you enjoying the show so far? I hope so. I hope there's lots of meaty tips that you're enjoying. Now it's time for our case study of a life designer that's doing so well that he's probably not even peaked in his career, but he's going to keep going, making more television, making more money, and making you hate him even more. He takes it all the way to the bank. He's Simon Cowell, TV's Mr. Nasty. What I find so fascinating about Simon Cowell is with what seems like the minimum amount of effort, he gets the maximum amount of gain back into his business. People can't wait for him to say bad things about people, and he doesn't seem to care what people think, but you know what? He's almost always right about every single person he talks about on his TV shows. Whether it's X Factor, which he created and he sat waiting for the opportunity to launch in the US, or American Idol, which he created as well with Simon Fuller, he is the go-to guy on reality TV. He reinvented it, but why did he reinvent it? For the most amazing business model you could ever conceive. The music industry wastes a fortune finding out who's going to be the next superstar. It was down previously to A&R guys to go out and watch bands and talk to singers and see what bankable people are, bring them in and throw a load of budget at them, take them round on tours and hopefully find somebody that will be a global hit. The odds of that happening are so few and far between, as you know, if you remember going to bargain bins in record shops and finding all the CDs and records and whatever from people who didn't make it. Cassettes. You don't remember cassettes. I remember cassettes. Instead, what Simon Cowell did was he reverse engineered that success process. Supposing you could end up with a superstar and create a fan base all the way along, getting the fans to choose who their superstar is going to be. So when they finally release their album, you've got 20 million people instantly waiting to buy it. Wouldn't that be a stroke of genius? Well, it is. That's how X Factor and American Idol work. He opens it up to the general public to come and put themselves forward as would-be pop stars. He gives them all the publicity they want. He criticizes them, makes it all glamorous, but makes it an interactive and engaging process. By the end of it, you end up with a head-to-head and a superstar and a ready-made audience who will buy their CDs and make them a million seller and give them Grammys. And guess who's laughing all the way? Who's managing their success and their career and cherry-picking with his comments exactly who's going to be the person he wants them to be at the end? Simon Cowell. Genius. Let's take a look behind the scenes at Mr. Nasty and find out how he turbocharges his own brand and how he could do it for you, but he probably won't. This is Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
So, nervous?
Are you? I just think when we were just sitting there, you looked more nervous than I did.
I'm not remotely nervous.
Okay, fine.
Because I know what's coming.
Okay, all right, then I'm nervous.
I mean, for a control freak like you, this is the ultimate nightmare, isn't it?
Yes, and literally 5 minutes before we went on, I actually sat there and thought, what the hell am I doing? Where is the upside here? Nothing.
How important is it to you to be popular?
Very important. Whether you're a sportsman or you're in business or doing what I do, where you make TV shows, nobody does this to become 77th. You know, you always strive to be more successful than your competition. And the day that stops, you have to stop doing this for a living, genuinely. You have to have that drive. Even as a kid, if I was losing Monopoly, I'd tip the board up.
through them.
Oh, my God, yeah, absolutely. Or I'd be the banker and nick all the money so I would always win. And...
I mean, you are ridiculously competitive.
Piers, coming from you is the best... I'm going to hand it to you on that. You are the most competitive person I have ever met, seriously, in my life. And one of the reasons, I won't use the word enjoy, but sort of put up working with you, is that it actually makes me kind of up my game because you are that competitive.
I like to win.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm working for you, so I don't really get to win, do I?
As I always say to you, Piers, I control the edit.
Not on this show, you know. Do you think the secret to your success is actually that you are, in many ways, and the way you lead your life, your tastes are quite average, middle of the road, the kind of stuff that the mass market would like?
For sure. Absolutely right. And I don't think you can make records, I don't think you can make TV shows properly unless you can sit there as a listener or a viewer. You can't guess what people like. It would be like me guessing what you want for dinner. It's impossible. I can tell you what I want. So I base everything on my own tastes, and I have, you know, fairly broad, you know, I'd say quite simple tastes.
Next week's episode is even more exciting than this one. How could it be? Because it was so action-packed this week. Let me tell you, if you're looking at starting an internet-based business or even adding the internet to more of what you already do, you need to hear the interview with Barry Cummings, a personal friend of mine, and in the formative years of me learning about the internet, he was my mastermind partner. He's a consultant that talks to businesses and has no-nonsense approaches to how they can really turbocharge their own brand. Also, if you're a journalist and you're thinking, I can't make money anymore being a journalist, nobody reads magazines, newspapers, the business model doesn't work anymore, what's my next stage? You need to watch my show next week to find out. There's an area that is growing that's going to make you more money than you could ever dream. But I'm not going to tell you what it is until next week. And who are we going to be profiling as our big star? Rap star, movie star, boxing champion, well, kind of in one of his films. He's the guy who was able to go from a TV career in a very funny, geeky kind of way to being one of the most sought-after box office successes of our lifetime. He had a run of 6 films that all grossed over 100 million each one in a row. Who is he? Will Smith! We're not worthy. The guy we'd all like to meet, the guy we'd like to hang out with, and the guy we'd love to have on our phone we could chat to on a regular basis. We're going to find out exactly how he does it, his secrets, his success, and it's just great to know more about him. Will Smith, on the next episode of Turbocharge Your Brand TV.